You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
You're listening to Breadline on 3CR 855 AM or 3cr.org.au if you're listening online. This is Breadline, the show presented by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. My name's Caitlin and I'm going to be here with you until 6:30 this evening. Got a special summer special episode of Breadline for you where we're going to be going back over the year that was 2025 and following some of the stories that have developed that we've been following here on Breadline about the welfare system and how it affects welfare recipients here in so-called Australia. Here at the Breadline team, we're all welfare recipients ourselves. We all live on the social security system and we're all members of AUWU, the Unemployed Workers Union, and we know firsthand how this punitive welfare system affects people and our daily lives. And we've had the opportunities throughout the year to interview advocates, activists, and other people affected by the welfare system and other members of the AUWU talking about their experiences and covering news about the government's policies, the welfare system, what's happening with targeted compliance framework. Sort of echoes of robo-debt have been sort of rumbling through 2025. We're going to be covering that here on our summer special show where we go back through some of the best of. It's hard to call it that one. We're covering really dark stuff like how the government is punishing us through the social security system. But we're going to be here with you until 6:30 playing some of the clips. And we've got some interesting storylines that sort of developed throughout the year. So you're going to hear us covering news and then coming back to it a little bit later and having, and now we know with the benefit of hindsight what was happening there. So here's a throwback to March 2025, earlier this year, when Jessica and I had the chance to interview Jay Coonan from the Anti-Poverty Centre here in the 3CR studios for Breadline.
I watched an interesting part of the hearings where Senator Penny Ullman Payne was interviewing two representatives from Services Australia and really trying to drill down on how these reported 10 deaths could have occurred. So 10 welfare or former welfare recipients actually died after their payments were illegally cancelled. So it's a whole thing. We'll get into it. But I thought that this exchange was really possibly a lot of people listening, people from who listen to us here at Breadline or from the AUWU or anyone on welfare will recognise this attitude from Services Australia. So you're going to hear Senator Penny Ullman Payne speaking, and then you've got two representatives from Services Australia responding.
Has Services Australia taken any proactive steps to establish whether or not the deaths were in fact connected to the cancellations?
No, Senator.
No, and I think it goes to what was being mentioned in by the witnesses last night around when we're looking at the records, like the nature of our roles and our jobs are that we touch the lives of every Australian, and death of customers is unfortunately a daily occurrence. In looking at those records, there was nothing that indicated that there was anything untoward, so it's not routine for us to then investigate why somebody might have passed.
So, Jay, you're from the Anti-Poverty Centre, and I'm sure that you're quite familiar with these hearings. What is your response to that audio from the Senate hearings estimates 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, look, it was really shocking. Just the kind of, lack of care that was expressed by Services Australia. First of all, I have no doubt that, they do deal with death every day because, that is something that is a reality of the social security system. But I think the core issue here and the major concern was that the Department of Employment they found out that they had been illegally cancelling people's payments, and they were then obviously going through the processes to repay them, which they had to go through Services Australia. So, and Services Australia, who was being questioned in that clip, really were just like, oh yeah, you know, this is just something that happens. And it wasn't in that moment where they were like, well, yes, this does happen. However, these 10 people have had their payments illegally cancelled. And that should have been the first step. The second step, like if they're failing that, the Department of Employment, who is responsible for payment cancellations or the targeted compliance framework, which operates as a in mutual obligations, should have been also leading that investigation to figure out whether or not they had been the cause of that. Because whether or not, they are basically responsible for people at the end of the day.
They being Services Australia or the Department of Employment?
I'd say as a whole, government is responsible.
Yeah.
I think the Department of Employment, the same department that writes the mutual obligations policy, that enforces the mutual obligation policies, that polices the employment services providers who are the ones being paid to administer these programs.
Yeah, paid like, quite a lot too.
Yeah, $7 billion.
These are private companies getting paid by the government. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's just shocking but somewhat depressingly unsurprising that they would take this position.
And that's the third inquiry into that I read, I think, in The Guardian.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's been a number of inquiries over the years. I mean, there was the JobActive inquiry that handed down a report in 2019 that was kind of bad. Then you also had the Parents Next, which is a now defunct model of a program. And then there was also a recent Workforce Australia inquiry. But so those were like government inquiries. But then the Department of Employment is currently reviewing their own. They've got their own lawyers looking into whether or not the system is legal. They've outsourced $5 million to Deloitte to look over their program rules to see whether their system is, their IT system is actually doing what it's supposed to do. Yeah. And then also the Commonwealth Ombudsman has publicly announced, which is quite rare, that they're going to be investigating the administration of the targeted compliance framework. Yeah.
You're listening to 3CR, and we just heard a clip from Breadline's interview with Jay Coonan from the Anti-Poverty Centre here in the studios back on the 10th of March in 2025, where Jay actually mentioned Deloitte and the targeted compliance framework review, which is now going to come up. We've actually got clips from later in the year where these issues came up again. So I'm here today. My name's Caitlin. I'm here with you until 6:30 on 3CR 855 AM or 3cr.org.au if you're listening online. And I'm doing a summer special episode of Breadline where I'm going back and looking over the year that's been 2025 and some of the stories and news and issues that we've covered here on Breadline about life on the social security system. Breadline is, of course, presented by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, of which I am a member. And everyone on the Breadline team is a welfare recipient, living on the breadline ourselves, and also members of the AUWU. If you're having any issues with Centrelink or your job services provider, you can call the AUWU's advocacy line, where a welfare recipient, a volunteer, is waiting to talk to you about your issues, and you can get as specific and personal as you like. You don't have to share anything you don't want to share, but it's sometimes really helpful to talk to someone who's also been through it and going through it and knows their rights and could help you understand your rights as you deal with this punitive social security system here in so-called Australia. So if you would like to call the AUWU advocacy line, the number is 1800-289-848. And you can also find all this information on Breadline's website, on the 3CR website. That's 3cr.org.au/breadline. My name's Caitlin. I'll be here with you until 6:30, playing clips and throwbacks from 2025 from Breadline, everything we've covered throughout the year. But now let's hear a community announcement.
Help 3CR raise funds by donating your containers. Every eligible drink container that you return to a Container Deposit Scheme recycling point earns 10 cents, which can really add up. 3CR is a donation partner for Victoria's Container Deposit Scheme. The scheme allows you to recycle selected aluminium, glass, or plastic containers and donate the funds earned to a not-for-profit organisation of your choice. Help us raise funds for the station. Search for Community Radio and choose 3CR next time you cash in your cans. Go to cdsvic.org.au for more information.
This is the Breadline Show on 3CR. My name's Caitlin. I'm going to be here with you until 6:30, and we're doing a summer special episode of Breadline, where we're going back over the year and playing clips from interviews and episodes of Breadline that we've done over 2025. The next clip I'm going to play you is from Monday, the 7th of July in 2025, back in the middle of winter, when my co-host Jessica and I were in the studios at 3CR chatting about some of the rumblings that Jessica was sensing in the social security system and some news about the targeted welfare system and mutual obligations.
We were talking about targeted compliance framework, which is a horrifying long name for a horrifying thing. And we've been talking about mutual obligations as well.
Yes. And I think a lot of people who aren't aware of how bad the system is, think of these little offices that pop up in many of the rural towns in Gippsland, but certainly all through the city as well, as somehow helping people. They just have a vague, they're helping people idea, but they don't realise, again, how punitive this helping is.
And the offices are these the job service providers?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They pop up.
They're quite predatory, really.
Yes. So, before the break, we're talking about basically how some of the bureaucrats inside the system are calling into question the lawfulness of key social security programs. And this is written up in a great article in Crikey. So there's the case of the, which is in the federal court right now, Matthew Chaplin versus the Secretary of the Department of Social Services, and it follows on from RoboDebt, which it may actually lead, if the department loses, they could be liable for millions of dollars of repayments to welfare recipients who've been wrongfully denied payments. And this is not RoboDebt we're talking about. We're talking about all the people whose payments have just been suddenly suspended. Unless there's been a pause on. So
you mentioned earlier in the show that there have been lots of sort of more pauses happening, but not because of a cyclone or COVID. It's more like maybe these are hints that they're finding problems in the system.
And they're saying they actually are blaming the IT systems, which are supposedly not operating in alignment with laws and policies. And so that's a sort of handy get out, really, to say it's the IT system, was when really there's no oversight and there's no real understanding from the bureaucrats about what the job centres are actually doing to people.
Yeah.
So they're saying it has become clear that decisions regarding compliance may not have been validly made. Another quite sort of like vague statement, but enough to send warnings out.
I mean, some of the types of compliance decisions made is to cut someone's job seeker payment because they were in hospital and didn't attend a meeting or something like that.
That's right. Yes.
So these job service providers have a lot of power over someone's life.
Exactly. And we talked in previous Breadlines about the woman who was in hospital and was still had to rush basically from a hospital bed into a job centre for her appointment in fear of losing her payments.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just wild.
Now, there are three separate reviews, but despite all this, the targeted compliance framework continues.
Yeah.
But the other just interesting stat before I finish is that only 90% of the suspensions which are handed out by the job centres actually result in people losing their payments, because as soon as you've got a suspension, you get straight onto it and try and get a review, try and get advice and so on.
Right.
So, and the other thing I found out during a little bit of research was that both the government agencies, Services Australia and Workfare Australia, have both got now sections on their website about the pauses. So I think they're anticipating more, possibly.
Oh, so, we're sensing rumblings.
Yes,
in the social security system.
Yes.
You just heard a throwback clip from an episode of Breadline that Jessica and I did on Monday, the 7th of July, 2025. We're going back through the Breadline archives today for a summer special episode of Breadline, looking back at the year that was and some of the stories that continued to develop over the year with regards to welfare and the social security system here in so-called Australia. My name's Caitlin. I'm going to be here with you until 6:30 today, looking back over the year and playing some clips that I've selected from past episodes of Breadline. Breadline is, of course, the show presented by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. I'm a welfare recipient. Everyone who works on Breadline is a welfare recipient and a member of the AUWU, and we're dedicated to helping you find out what's happening in the welfare system, helping welfare recipients understand our rights, and work towards justice in this punitive social security system here in so-called Australia, because we deserve better, frankly. Now, the welfare system moves slow, but sometimes here on the Breadline Show, we get to talk about breaking news as it happens. So now I'm going to take you to a throwback clip from only a couple months ago, from Monday the 13th of October, here on 3CR 855 AM or 3cr.org.au if you're listening online. So this is a clip from a conversation that Jessica and I, Caitlin, hello, had here on air at 3CR for the Breadline Show.
So moving on to our latest hot news, really, which I just got from Jay from the Anti-Poverty Centre today. Jay's been on the show before with when Caitlin was running the show, actually. But the exciting news is that, as we've covered quite a bit on the shows, the government are in trouble with their so-called targeted compliance framework, which we could shorten to TCF. It's been shown that it's not actually doing what the welfare system, bad as it is actually meant to do, which is actually give people some money so they can survive, because of the multiple cutoffs, the multiple suspensions, cancellations, all based around, you know, what's some crime that you may have committed but not turning up to an appointment, which you only hear about after the appointment has actually gone.
When the letter arrives a week later.
That's right. And so as a result of this, they've been under a bit of pressure, and there have been questions asked in government, in parliament, about whether they're actually operating legally. And it caused them, I suppose, a little bit of a flustered response when they were being asked these hard questions in Parliament. Anyway, result is there is now a pause of payment cancellations all over the place.
This is breaking news.
It is.
Yeah. So can you walk me through like what that means?
Okay, so payment cancellations are the worst ones. A suspension means that you are temporarily, your payment's suspended, and then you have to do a lot of ringing around. Someone I was speaking to today, he had to spend 4.5 hours on the phone getting his payment reinstated.
God.
But cancellations are the really bad ones, because potentially then you have to go through all that bureaucracy, fill out the Centrelink application form, et cetera, et cetera. So you can have huge delays on your payments.
So I feel like everyone knows, or hopefully you know how hard it is to get on welfare.
Yeah.
Maybe I guess not everyone knows, but if you're on welfare, you know how hard it was to get on it, especially something like the DSP. And then if you get it cancelled, you have to go through that whole process again.
Exactly.
You basically have to prove that you're eligible all over again.
So in their a slight embarrassment about how badly their targeted compliance framework system is working, they've paused a whole lot of cancellations. They've done a pause for not meeting a reconnection requirement within 4 weeks.
So you can't get your payment cancelled for not having reconnected for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what reconnected means. No, does that mean attend a meeting?
It sounds a bit like gas or electricity, doesn't it?
But it does.
But it's actually a reconnection as in, you know, a response to them, to the job centres back.
Right.
So that one's been paused. So payment cancellation decisions for persistent mutual obligation failures, that's also been paused.
That's great. I wish it would go away
altogether.
What am I trying to say? Permanently.
Yeah. And then they've paused. There's a pause of payment cancellation decisions for unemployment failures. Now, again, that's a very broad term. They're not going into details here. But again, it's to do with the suspension of people's payments.
Yeah.
And then pause of payment reduction decisions for persistent mutual obligation failures. I think that an example would be they tell you you've got to turn up. You turn up. You get into an argument with someone in a JSP, job service provider office. You walk out. That's
right.
It. So that would be a mark against you, and that would be a mutual obligation failure. So they've paused their payment reduction decisions, and that's a reduction. So this is the tightening, and you get less money if you've done this, if you've failed in this situation. And
it's
then
just treating welfare recipients like criminals. Yeah. Constantly. I mean, criminals shouldn't be treated like this either. Like, no one should be.
And then a pause of decisions under Section 42AG for work refusal failures. I mean, a work refusal failure, that's pretty obvious. That is that they've tried to get you to do a job which you are not suited for, because, of course, as we know, the job service providers get a payout every time there's some kind of result of their interactions with you.
So they're not necessarily putting your best interests like in priority. They're just going to push you into any job.
That's right.
If it gets them a whatever.
Now, I suppose the interesting thing about all this, and this is all just new information we got this afternoon, is how will the job service providers respond to this? Because really their punishment angle, their stick in a way, has been taken away from them, and it may result in their payouts and their bonuses reducing because they haven't got these sticks.
And I mean, just my sort of reaction is that they're going to rely on more soft power, like emotional manipulation. They're going to bank on people not knowing that this has happened, that they don't have their stick anymore. So one of the things we try to do with this show is make sure people are more informed, basically.
That's right. Yeah. And it really is important for this information to get out, and it will be going out through the normal channels of some of the organisations we just mentioned.
Mm.
But really, tell your friends, tell everyone that through their own incompetence, and they have had to respond. And so they brought in this pause, which, once again, as you said, Caitlin, is not good enough. They should scrap the whole thing.
I mean, mutual obligations should not be a thing that exists.
No, that's right.
I've talked about this on the show before, but just even the name of it, it's... Yeah. Just so cynical what they've called it, that, like, you know, that you have a that you as the welfare recipient, as the vulnerable person, have an obligation back to the government to do unpaid labor for them or to be coerced into labor. Like, that doesn't make what?
Or turn up at a private company and help enrich their profit margin, you know, in the guise of being helped.
Yeah, I mean, disability activist in the US, Imani Barberin, talks about how disabled people are profit centers. And I often think about that when I think about, like, disabled people having to go to these disability employment service providers. And the whole thing of, like, I used to have to go to At Work Australia, and there was just a guy who was sitting there in an office, and I had to show up there. He would tick that I came, and then he gets money for that.
Yeah.
Nothing happens for me. It actually made my day worse, my week worse.
Yeah, not to having to rush there, worry about the time.
I was so ill, I couldn't get out of bed, but I had to go, otherwise they'd take my income away. So.
Yeah. Well, this info comes under the title Assuring the Integrity of the Targeted Compliance Framework, and it's on a website under the DEWR. It's dewr.gov.au/ASS, which, interesting acronym, but anyway.
But something interesting has happened recently in the news, which is that consultancy firm Deloitte Australia, I think it's the Australia wing of it. So Deloitte basically were paid $44 million to review the targeted compliance framework and some other Centrelink functioning. And they've had to repay a portion of it because it turns out they used generative AI in parts of the report. So if you're not familiar with Gen AI, it's basically machine. It's a large language model.
That's it.
But the AI can do this thing called AI hallucinations, where if you type into it, you know, can you read all of this Centrelink information and then spit out a report? And if the AI can't figure out the answer, it'll just make stuff up.
Mm.
So it actually, in the report, there were like books referenced that don't exist.
That's shocking.
By authors who are real like Australian authors. So they were just like
hallucinations.
It was pure AI hallucination. You know, Deloitte they haven't done it yet, but they're going to have to repay a portion of what they were paid. And they're paid so much that I don't know how that'll affect them.
Probably not much, but some reputational harm, I would say.
I mean, I kind of hope so, because that's just, it's already, I mean, I already have an opinion about the fact that the government was paying that much money for a review when, I mean, you could just
ask. We could have told
you
them.
You could just ask us. Like, you could ask anyone who covers welfare. You could ask welfare recipients. We could tell you what's going wrong, but they don't want to hear that. They want, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get off my soapbox a little.
Yeah, no, you're allowed to be. I think that's what 3CR is about. You're allowed to be on your soapbox.
I was like, I'm getting on my soapbox on community radio, on radical radio. Like, how dare I?
Now, yeah, there's a few, we've been in the last few shows talking about
Can I just correct myself? I said Deloitte was paid $44 million. I've just looked down at my notes. It was $440,000. So that's a bit different, but do apologize.
Okay, right. Good, we've got those figures right.
You're listening to Breadline on 3CR, and you've just heard a couple of excerpts from a show that we did a couple of months ago on the 13th of October, 2025, because today we've been doing a summer special episode of Breadline, looking back over the year that was, and doing some special clips from 2025 shows. And it's been interesting to see how some stories about the Social Security system have developed and to follow them through Breadline episodes throughout 2025. Breadline will be coming to you as usual this summer every Monday evening from 6 to 6:30. And you can always check out podcasted episodes of our past shows on 3cr.org.au/breadline, or you can find our podcast 3CR Breadline on the Apple Podcasts app or on Spotify. Now let's go out with a track. If you have a problem with strong language, maybe just tune out until 6:30 when Eritrean Voice is up next. But I would like to play you this track by Mudrat. It's called I Hate Rich Cunts. And thanks for listening to Breadline on 3CR 855 AM or 3cr.org.au if you're listening online. Really appreciate you tuning in, and we'll be back with another Breadline next Monday at 6 PM. Here's Mudrat.
Not enough justice. Know thy enemy. Do what I got to.
I won't get signed if I speak my mind. Do I eat the fruit off a rotten vine? I would rather starve than be Zion line than go down screaming free Palestine.
I think I'm scaring my white friends, silently wishing I'd silence. They love their peace and enlightenment. Don't try to fight them. Look what you've got here. Be fucking grateful.
Rich cunts, cat calls, fascists, Matt Walsh.
Christmas, if your racist grandpa says something fucked, punch a gun in the head!
I think I'm scaring my white friends, silently wishing I'd silence. They love their peace and enlightenment. Don't try to fight them. Look what you've got here. Be fucking grateful.
Rich cunts, cat calls, fascists, Matt Walsh. Tell them they can get fucked.
Racist boomers on Sky News. You can tell them they can get fucked.
Tell them they can get fucked.
Racist boomers on Sky.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.